Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Good morning and happy Lord's Day. We're thankful to have you with us here on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder David Wise, and we would invite you, if you happen to be in our area in North Mississippi, we'd invite you to come and worship with us at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi, where I serve as pastor, and then our partners in this radio ministry, Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, and their pastor, Elder Joe Nettles. Both of our churches meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., so come see us on Sunday morning and come see us on Wednesday night in Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. We meet at the New Covenant Church, 200 West Garrett Road. Come see us on Wednesday night and on Sunday mornings. We'd love to have you come out and worship with us. If you happen to not be in our area, then we certainly hope that you would email us, contact us. Go to our website, gospel-of-grace.com, and you can email us at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, answer any questions, help you in any way that we can. So come out and worship with us, and please contact us if you enjoy the program. This morning on the program, we'd like to continue our consideration of the providence of God. So we're glad to have you, and we hope that you'll stay tuned with us. We'll bring that message right after this song. Good morning again, and thank you for tuning in with us here on the Gospel of Grace. We hope our efforts on this program are a blessing to you, and we hope that we can be a regular part of your week in whatever avenue you listen to us through the radio or on the internet or on our podcast. We've been spending time meditating together on the providence of God and God's vision ahead of time of how He procures and prepares everything that is necessary for His children for future needs. And today we would like to look at the life of Job, and we really want to look at the life of Job with a specific perspective in regards to providence, and that is God's providential hedge, God's hedge of protection that He puts around His people. And I think this is one of the most vital concepts, one of the most vital things that we can understand about God's providence is, first of all, God puts a hedge of protection around His people, and Satan, even though he desires to do so much mischief, he desires to do so much damage to the people of God, Satan and his minions and his devils and his evil spirits and the kingdom of darkness can go no further than the providential hedge of protection that God puts around His people. And the only way that they can do anything to God's people is if the Lord suffers that according to His will. So in the book of Job, we find early on that Satan is poking and he's prodding and he's trying to find an avenue to afflict and to damage and to hurt this godly man named Job. Job is a righteous man. He eschewed evil and he served God with all of his house. And it's a sobering thought. It's a very sobering thought that because of Job's faithfulness, because of how faithful he was to the Lord, Satan knew Job by name. Satan knew Job by name. And not only did he know him by name, Satan desired to destroy Job. And if we serve the Lord faithfully, we will be on Satan's radar. That's a guarantee. We will be on Satan's radar. And I hope that we can serve the Lord faithfully enough where Satan does know us by name. We see that with Job. We see that in the New Testament with Paul. Satan and the evil spirits. The evil spirits knew Paul by name. Satan knew Job by name. And he essentially says, as he presents himself before the Lord and he desires to afflict Job, the Lord actually volunteers Job. "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, "Yeah, I've been trying to get at Job for years, but you won't let me, God. You won't let me get to him. I have had Job on my top 10 hit list for years. Me and all the kingdom of darkness and the evil spirits and all of my minions, we've been trying to get at Job for years. But Lord, you've got him so hedged up that we can't even get to him." So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I hope that we can serve the Lord faithfully enough where the kingdom of darkness does take notice and the kingdom of darkness does know us by name. But I also trust and hope that the Lord will keep and provide and protect us in such a way where Satan wants to get to us, but God's hedge of protection prevents Satan from doing that. So Satan says, "Oh, I've known about Job for years, but I can't get to him. I can't get to him, Lord, because you have put up a hedge of protection around him." And the Lord suffers in this situation. He suffers his hedge to be removed. Also, I want to make sure we note that Satan acknowledges, Job chapter 1 and verse 9, "Hast thou made a hedge about him," and not just him. This tells you how impactful our lives are to others. You hadn't just put a hedge around him. You've put a hedge around him and his house and all that he hath on every side, right? So there's not just a hedge in the front and Satan can come around the back. No, you've put a hedge around every side. And that means that everyone that was associated with Job was protected from Satan as a residual blessing from just being around Job. And I hope that that can be our case, that our families, that our friends, that those we interact in a business setting, that they can be blessed because of our faithfulness, that they can receive residual blessings and even residual protection from Satan and from the evil one because of our faithfulness. But I want you to notice that Satan knows that there's a hedge, right? "I've been trying to get to him, but I can't." So Satan knows that there are limits to what he has the ability to do, and he can only do what the Lord suffers him to do. And that's vitally important. Satan is a formidable foe. Satan is a vicious enemy. But Satan does not have authority to do everything. Praise God. Satan does not have the authority to do everything he desires to do in this world. He is restricted. He is restrained. He is prevented by the Lord from doing everything that he desires to do. And it's so sobering in the story of Job of what happens when the Lord just removes his hedge minimally. What happens? Immediate calamity, immediate death, immediate destruction. And boy, it just hits so hard about how fast this happened that if the Lord's providential hedge wasn't round about his people, we would be consumed and destroyed in a moment's notice. I mean, it's terrifying if we're not walking by faith and keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's terrifying how quickly this wickedness came in the life of Job when the Lord suffered his hedge to be removed even to a minimal degree. So we'll get back to the story of Job here in just a minute, but I want to highlight a few places where this hedge is also mentioned. In Matthew 21, verse 33, the Lord gives a parable about the kingdom of God, and he's describing a vineyard that's planted by the landowner, and he protected that vineyard with a fence hedged round about the vineyard to protect it. See a similar picture in Isaiah chapter 5 of a vineyard. And the vineyard, I believe, is depicting the kingdom of God. It's the church. So the Lord has put a hedge of protection round about his church. But who are the church? The people are the church. The lively stones are the church, right? So to put a hedge around about the church, he puts a hedge of protection round about his people. So in Isaiah chapter 5, we again see a picture of a vineyard, and God fenced that vineyard to protect the vines and the grapes from animals that might have a desire to take it away. And then there in Isaiah chapter 5, we find, at least in that picture of Israel, how Israel was disobedient, and the Lord said, I'm going to take away the hedge. I'm going to take away the fence. Another thing I think it's important that we understand when we think about a hedge is that the word hedge, particularly in Job chapter 1 and verse 10, when Satan said that, you've put a hedge round about it, we think about a hedge as a noun. You know, a hedge is an object, it's a fence. But really, the word hedge there is a verb. The word hedge is a verb. And what it means is to shut in, to fence about for protection or restraint. So what the Lord doesn't do is he doesn't put up a fence. No. God is actively protecting you. And I think that's vitally important that we see this hedge not as a static fence. No, the hedge is God, right? The hedge is God protecting you, Jesus Christ protecting you, and him galvanizing all of the thousands upon thousands and thousands of thousands angels. The amazing angelic host to put a hedge of protection. And I would dare say, what is that hedge? What is that hedge that protects him? I would say it's angels. Lord willing, in a later time in this series on providence, we will specifically consider angelic intervention, angelic providence, and the way the Lord uses angels to protect his people. And I think we could easily say that this hedge, the Lord puts angels around. That's what we find in the Psalms. It says, God's angels encamp round about them that fear him, right? That sounds like a hedge of protection. So who are the hedges of protection? It's the angels. But notice, the hedge here is a dynamic verb. It's not a static noun. So the Lord has hedged about his people to protect them and to protect Job, I would dare say, through angelic protection, that the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him. And those minions of the kingdom of darkness, Satan and those evil spirits, they cannot penetrate that angelic hedge of protection. And again, I want to make sure we highlight that hedge is a verb. It's dynamic. It's powerful. That God is dynamically protecting his people. Now, the obvious question in the story of Job is why did the Lord remove the hedge, right? Now, I'm asking that question because I know it's the first question that will typically come to our minds. But the question in not just the story of Job, the question when difficult circumstances come in our life, great tragedy, death, death of children, loss of business holdings, the physical health that Job has to encounter in chapter 2 when the Lord removes the hedge a little bit further. All of these circumstances, when they come in our life, what we should not do is spend all of our time on the why. Now, there may come a time later on with providential 2020 hindsight that maybe the Lord gives us some clarity in the why, but we don't need to spend all of our time digging into the why. Instead, we just have to trust God in faith in the midst of the trials that are inevitable in this world. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." It's inevitable, but be of good cheer. Don't be discouraged. Difficult times are going to come. "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but don't get discouraged. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So, why in this situation did the Lord remove his providential hedge? I mean, the Lord does not desire for Job. You know, he doesn't just desire to punish his children. Why did he allow so much calamity to come in the life of Job at the hand of Satan? Why? Well, many times we don't know the why, but Scripture does give us a little bit of clarity into the why in the life of Job. In Job 23, we'll come back to this, but in Job 23 and verse 10, he says, "But the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So there was a purification that needed to happen in the life of Job, and not just purification, but I think the Lord used Job as an example of, again, the triumphing, overruling power and providence of God, that he gave Satan just enough rope to hang himself. He gave him just enough authority to have all of these perils come. And yes, he suffered for a brief period of time. But then we find later on in the last chapter of Job that the Lord blessed Job twice as much in the end as he did before. You know, I love using the example of the Lord giving Satan just enough rope to hang himself, because I always associate that with the story of the book of Esther and Haman, this wicked, wicked man who no doubt was being controlled by Satan to try to destroy the Jews. And literally, his own pride, his own arrogance, he ends up being hung on the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And, you know, Satan felt like probably at the end of chapter 2, not just the end of chapter 2, but he uses Job's wife to turn on him. He uses his friends to turn on him. So there was a period of time where no doubt Satan seemed like or felt like maybe he'd won this battle. He outsmarted the Lord. You know, he's cunning and crafty and wily. And maybe he thought he'd outsmarted the Lord. I tricked him into getting him to remove the hedge and look at everything I did. Look at everything that I did in destroying the life of Job. But you want to know what happens at the end of this? Job ends up being blessed twice as much in the end as he did before. So I think the Lord suffered the removal of this hedge, at least in the life of Job. Now, we can't say that every time someone loses children, he lost 10 children at one time. We can't say every time someone loses a child, someone has their business destroyed, someone has a health problem, when their wife turns against them and when their friends turn against them, we can't look at that and us have a knowledge of why the Lord suffered that to happen. But in the life of Job, though, we can see that there was personal purification, personal sanctification that needed to happen through Job going through this fire and burning away of dross and being refined. "And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as more pure gold than I was before, a vessel that's more meet for the master's use." But also, I think the Lord used this as the most extreme example. Someone has never suffered in such a short period of time, I don't believe, as much as Job has suffered. In the New Testament, he's used as an example of patience. And not only an example of patience, but he glorified God and blessed the name of the Lord in spite of the most unspeakable suffering, right? Essentially, the core of this is Satan felt like that if he went through all this calamity, that he would curse God. And you know what? By the end of it, at least chapter 1, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So Satan thought that if he afflicted him in this way, that he would denounce God, and that means Satan would win. You want to know what the Lord blessed Job to do? he'd blessed Job to glorify God and to triumph over the wickedness that God suffered Satan to afflict on Job. And then you get to the end of the story, and what did God do? He blessed Job twice as much at the end as he did before. So I think part of the reason is to show us through the most extreme example possible that Satan can do no more than what God suffers him to do. And even if there is great suffering and calamity that comes in our life, God will bless his people in the midst of that. And it should be so encouraging for us that the Lord triumphed over this wickedness of Satan and blessed Job twice as much in the end as he had before. So the Lord is protecting Job in every direction. He's actively sending his angels to protect him, and not just him, but his children and all of his house, his business holdings. Now, what happens when the Lord removes that hedge? I really can't imagine, but I do try to picture in my mind these servants that tell him that he has lost all of his oxen and sheep and servants. It's almost like getting four consecutive phone calls nowadays. I mean, can you imagine getting the first phone call or someone coming and seeing you in person? But all of this happened within a few minutes. And I just want to let the gravity of that sink in. Within a minute or two, he got four phone calls that said all of his oxen and sheep are destroyed. All of his sheep and his servants, his camels, all of his 10 children are dead. Four phone calls back to back to back to back. And what did he do? What did he do? He fell down on the ground and he worshiped. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But look how horrible things happen when the Lord removes his hedge. It happens so fast. And then Satan wasn't happy with it. Satan lost battle one, right? The first battle is that if you remove this hedge, he's just serving you. Job is just serving you because of everything he gets out of it. And if everything he thinks he gets out of it is removed, he's going to curse you. And Satan lost it. He miscalculated. Satan miscalculated and he lost because Job glorified God. And then Satan comes back to the Lord. And he says, the Lord offers up Job again. Have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says the second time, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Put forth now thine hand and touch his flesh, and he will curse thee. Now, I think the language is here important, okay? Satan says, God, you put forth your hand and touch him. But how does God respond to that? Satan says, you do this to him. But how does the Lord respond? Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So don't you ever slander the integrity and the purity and the glory of God by saying God is working together hand in hand with sin. And Satan tried to bait him, didn't he? Satan tried to bait the Lord. He said, you do this to him. And the Lord said, I'm not going to do this to him. I'm going to remove my hedge, but he's in your hand to do this wickedness. And then he has these tremendous boils that come on his body. And I can just imagine the physical pain and suffering. And then his wife says, curse God and die. And in all of this, Job didn't sin with his lips. Again, Satan lost that battle again. He lost that battle again. And then he has his miserable comforters, his friends that come and accuse him. And there's so much here in the book of Job, and we're just going to have to skip through pretty much all of that. But by the end of it, we find that Job is blessed twice as much in the end as he did before. And the denominations are important. I think the Lord goes out of his way in Scripture to say exactly how many sheep, camel, oxen, and asses and children he had before. And then in chapter 42, we find what he had after it, and the denominations are exactly double. He had 7,000 sheep to start with. He had 14,000 sheep at the end. Every single one of these denominations, sheep, camels, oxen, asses, it is literally, the number is twice as much as he had. And he even had 10 more children. And not only did he have 10 more children, but his daughters were the most beautiful in all of the land. So when the Lord removes his hedge of protection, things get bad really quick. And we just want to praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for his hedge of protection. And I want to say really quickly, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the man of sin and the mystery of iniquity, that God is currently letting or restraining the mystery of iniquity. This mystery of iniquity is already working, but God's restricting it. He's restraining it. And I think Scripture clearly teaches that there's going to come a time where the Lord is going to remove those restrictions. And Satan is going to be loosed again. Satan's bound right now. I believe, to not go and deceive the nations. But Satan will be loosed yet again. And those last days when Satan is loosed and the Lord really removes his providential hedge, at least from this world, I believe his hedge will still be around his church. But he removes a lot of the restraining influence as he has against Satan. And those times will mirror the days of Noah, when the wickedness of man was great on the earth and every imagination of the thoughts of the man's heart was only evil continually. That's the time we'll arrive at before Jesus comes back the second time. Daniel chapter 12, there's going to be a time of trouble that was never since. I mean, to say that there's going to be a time of suffering that's greater than anything that's ever been on the face of the earth. Oh, goodness, that's hard to imagine. And then Psalm 76 and verse 10. When we think about the providential hedge, what does that do? It restrains the wrath of man. And that's what the Lord does. Praise the Lord that God restricts and he restrains and he prevents. Remember, God's not working with the wickedness of this world. What's he doing? He's restraining it. He's restraining it. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. And the way in which he restrains the wickedness of men is through his providential hedge. So we just praise the Lord for his goodness, for his grace, for his kindness, and his providential hedge of protection round about his people. I pray he would put a hedge of protection round about you and me and my family and your family and the church and the kingdom of God to protect us from the wicked devices of Satan, because we see from the story of Job just how quickly so much calamity and death and destruction comes when God removes his hedge just a little bit. And we just pray that God would protect us as Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, protect us from the evil. Protect us from the evil by his providential hedge. We pray the Lord will richly bless you with the presence of his Spirit on this Lord's Day. God bless you.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.